Give me a glass of water,
please. All right.
Give us a glass of water, friend.
Okay.
You know, I just put 5 sacks of fertilizer in there.
I saw you.
But you know, 5 sacks will pretty well change the climate.
Yes, sir.
5 sacks.
It'll do it.
Shut down,
man,
and give me a glass of water,
man. Now, you're like I am, guy. You're not as young as you used to be.
Hey, look at here. Look here.
Yeah, I know it.
I haven't put in any fence posts.
Well, I've done the same thing this summer. I went to work down to Shell, down to Bulk Plant.
Oh, did you?
And during the summer month. So I sat down there and went to, air conditioned office.
Can't see you against that one. Yeah.
Sitting there in that air conditioned office and not doing nothing, just sitting there doing book work and doing the dispatching.
Yeah.
And man, I picked up around here like I ain't wearing none of my clothes. And
oh, it's awful, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's awful.
And I told my wife the other day, I said, well, I'll be glad when kerosene season comes, maybe I'll run some of this off.
Yes.
Of course, I don't want to be running like I was yesterday and the day before, every day.
Well, you can't pick and choose, can you?
No, sir. And all this cold snap come in on me. And I put out 1,500 and something the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
14 something yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's running all the way from Fairfield, etc. You know, across this way.
Oh, is that right?
Just a lot of running.
Yeah.
And I can't hold but 1,000 gallon on that truck, so I made 2 loads I had to make both days, see? All the way into Ocala and back.
Yeah.
And I was just give slam out last night.
1,000 gallon don't take you that far now, does it?
No. Now you hit 10 tanks like yours here.
Yeah.
You're empty again.
Yeah, and that you just starting then.
Yeah.
Well now a lot of this you see we didn't call you to fill it up, but you know you can come over here and fill it up a lot of them. You know you can fill it up anytime you want to.
Yeah, a lot of them I can work out that way.
Yeah.
Some of them you can't. You got to get them when they called you and when they're going to be there and this type of thing.
Yeah. Well, now, that's a lot different from this old station over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a lot of vexation, wasn't it?
It was. And you're just tied down and confined there all the time, see?
Yeah.
And
you go out on a service call and you couldn't charge over $3.
That's right. And then you go no telling what you're getting into, what kind of trouble where you're going, see.
Yeah.
And this type of thing, see, I mean it's just something all the time.
Yeah. And now do you still have a little collecting to do?
Well, it's all quit. I still got some out, but I can't get none of it. So I just lose what's out.
You never get rid of that.
No, but that's what happens. You can just keep running after them. And the ones that's going to pay you, they've already paid.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you keep those on your list?
I've got them down, yeah. I know who they are and how much they owe and all this, but you never get it.
Well, now, one of these wealthy fellas got you.
Yeah. And
he done it on purpose.
Yeah. Now, I turned him in small claim court. This I don't like to do.
Yeah.
Nobody. I did turn him in small claim court, and he wouldn't even appear down there for that. So, the man gave me judgment on him. And I had to take it on over there at the courthouse and have it registered and everything. Now, if he ever sells any property, I'll get my money.
Yeah.
But that might be 10 years from now. Or I may then be dead and gone.
Oh, yeah.
And this type of thing, see.
10 years?
Yeah, no telling when. He may never sell now. See. And all of this. Now, there's another thing that's bad about that. They ought to make them pay interest on that.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't. My understanding, they don't.
You pay interest on it, but he don't.
That's right.
He drives Cadillac.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Got plenty of money as far as that go. Or should have. He got $60,000 or $70,000 worth of equipment.
Yeah.
Sitting out here in the woods around, see.
Yeah.
And all this. He got a big ranch, a lot of cattle, and all this stuff.
Now how did that come up? I forget the circumstances.
Well, he'd been buying fuel from me there at the house for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And his wife always paid good. And this one month there, what actually happened on it, I had just filled up their tanks at the house. They had 3 big tanks at the house. He's got a great big house over in Fairfield. I filled up those three tanks, and then he came by and he was hauling some logs to Lake City and back, running up there. So he came by with his trucks, filled them up with diesel, and had a drum on the back, and he wanted to fill it up, you know, to take the woods using his tractor and all this stuff. He ran up $165 worth there right fast, see.
Yeah.
And then just never would pay it.
Yeah. What'd you do next?
Oh, I kept trying to collect it and trying to collect it, and he'd promised me he was going to do this and do that and something else. Never would do nothing.
You went over there?
Oh, yeah. I saw him several times. And then he come down. And here's to show you how much gold he's got, really. I mean, I couldn't do that and look a man in the face now. I couldn't do that. But he went down to Shell down there and told them that he bought all of his fuel from me.
Oh, yes.
See?
Oh, yes.
And he needed a tank and a pump.
Yes.
So they said, well, if he's my customer, well, they'd take care of him. So they go out there and loaded him up a 250-gallon skid tank, put a brand-new pump on it and everything, loaded it on his pickup for him. He was going to take it out there, you know, and I was going to come out the next morning and fill it up. Well, he went right straight from there now down to Thrift and had them to fill it up because their fuel was a cent cheaper than mine.
Yeah.
Of course, he wasn't going to call me to start with.
Yeah.
But he goes right down there now and had it filled up with somebody else's product and taking it out the place.
Yeah.
So when I come in, they said, well, we got you a good customer. I said, I put him in a big tank and everything, told me all about it, you know, said, you can go by there tomorrow and fill it up.
Yeah.
I said, no, he won't call me. Like, that man's not going to call me. I said, I don't know who he's going to call, but he's not going to call me, see. And so one of the boys, the other boys, come in to work. And he said, how come that man that you loaded that tank for yesterday, and how come he been down the Thrift filling that tank up last night? He says, I went home, he was down there filling it up.
They caught him before he ever got home?
Yeah. So they said, well, we'll just go get the tank and get the money won then. So they went out there, and he wasn't going to pay them, so they said, well, we're going to turn it over here and pour this fuel out, and we're going to take the tank and pump back with us.
It's that tank?
Yeah, it's our tank. So he paid them for it. Paid them for the tank pump that morning.
But they had to put it squeeze the tail to make
it. Oh, yeah. They was going to turn it over and pour it all out on the ground and bring the tank back. What are you going to do? That's what they went out there for.
Well, now, you couldn't do that.
I couldn't do that, no.
Well, you could have poured some of it out on the ground. It's your oil.
That's debatable, really. I don't know whether it could or not. I thought about that. Thought about just going up and back my truck up and reversing my pump.
Yes.
Just pump it all out back in my truck.
Yes.
See? But I don't believe I could get by with it if he wanted to push it.
Well, let me tell you.
Now, you might bluff him, but I mean,
them,
you know, if he wanted to push it.
With them beefy boys you got, he wouldn't even bring up questions.
I don't know. I don't know. There's all kind of people in this world.
Yeah.
I swear they are.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder. Yeah. Well, David decided to quit teaching. So he's up in Indiana, went to work for W.T. Grant.
What happened to the teacher?
He just got disgusted down in North Marion last year.
Yeah.
The way everything is going, I know it was his first year, and then...
You could take so much.
Yeah. And he just got disgusted with it, and then plus, they didn't tell him in so many words, but, see, they closed out Fesnet over there.
Yeah.
You know, they phased it out.
Yeah.
And they had to put all those negative somewhere.
Yes.
So they didn't want him back down there anyway again this year. They brought in some of them niggas from over there, see. Now, they didn't tell him in that many words that what they're doing, but they just told him they wouldn't need him this year. And they several of them they didn't keep this year, see.
Yes.
So he was disgusted anyway, and he went to Indiana and got to talking with us. He just went up there for a month. Wasn't going to be gone but a month. And, got up there and he got hooked up with Grant somewhere.
Yeah.
So he went to work with him.
Who's living in his?
Don's over there. He's over there now, be there till January, and then he's going back to Atlanta in January, so won't be nobody living there then, I guess.
Well, he must have. Old Roughnecks, Harden me, you see, it's still a whole lot of that hard to take.
Oh, it is.
Even when the color was not there.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I don't know, so maybe I better get a few colored ones in on with me. They're all the same.
They're all the same. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to it is. I know David worked real hard last year. Been his first year. He didn't try to cut no corners.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And he went to school.
Oh, yeah. And then he sat up till midnight every night grading papers. Making tests,
yeah.
Running all that stuff,
yeah.
And then they throwed the reading class off on him. He had to teach reading too, and which they had never had as a new program. But he was the only one in the whole school that's qualified to teach reading.
Oh.
Now this don't make sense to me. All the older teachers they had there, you know, has been teaching for 30 years. Some of them, for instance, you know, and he was the only one down there that was qualified to teach reading.
He had the credentials.
Yeah. So they shoved that off on him. He didn't have a free period, no time during the year. He had a class from the time he got there in the morning to 11 at night. No free time at all. See?
Yeah.
All year.
Yeah.
And then his main problem was discipline.
Oh, yeah.
David is young.
Well, that ain't it.
And, well, I know, but that's, I think that was some of it.
Oh.
He was a little young and inexperienced, and I think really what happened, he thought that I can just be one of the boys and they'll listen to me,
yeah.
See?
And
they don't do that.
Oh, no.
They won't do that.
No, sir. They don't want one of the boys.
So I told him that whenever he came out and was talking to me about it. I said, I think that's some of your problem. I said, they're looking for somebody to lead them, tell them what to do. They're not looking for another boy up there,
yeah.
See? But anyway, there's not much you can do about it. Start with.
Yeah.
And he'd send one of them to the office for something other, and the office would send him back down there before he could get back to his class, save his neck.
Yeah.
And didn't do nothing about it, you know. So this don't help.
Robert Williams, was he one of your customers?
Yeah.
What did he get from you?
He bought all his gas from me. And I sold him a lot of batteries, a few tires, this type of thing.
He did his own maintenance?
Yeah.
Most of it.
Mm-hmm. Biggest part of it. I did a little of it for him, but most of it he did.
Yeah. Jackie is running that custom plow that they got from
McRae.
Mm-hmm. I went over there in the middle of September, and Jackie was there when I talked to Robin. Said that I'd love to get on their list. He said he'd be glad to put me on. And I said, put in some rice. I said, well, when all left, you know, I want to have some idea. That's the middle of September. I said, I guess you wouldn't be able to get there before the 1st of October. Well, he says, I can't set a date. The first time I'm over that neighborhood, I'll do your work. Well, that's the way they do. Well, the 1st come and the 15th come, I got Freda. She's more conciliatory than I am. And talk to Robert. And he says, you know, it's going to be the end of the month, the 1st of November. Now, when I get over here, I got two jobs ahead of you. So I knew the game was up. So I went ahead and made arrangements to do it myself and borrowed a little equipment, bought the stuff, and started. Put it in. I'm still putting a little of it in. The 1st, 2nd, 3rd, whenever it was, Monday, Sunday night, the 1st, Jackie telephoned over here. Says, I'll be up there the 1st of the week. 1st of Monday, Tuesday. Well, I said, don't come Tuesday, Jackie. That's my bad day. And I'd like to show you, you know. Right, he said he'd come first thing, last thing, Monday. He didn't show up, so I got Freda calling me. And he come up Tuesday morning. He said, we went around and looked, you know, and when he got in his truck, he says, well, it'll be the end of the week before I can get up here. He says, Freddie's done put his in. My daddy's got hogs in the corn, and there's a lot of corn left, and he don't want to quite take them out yet.
Ha, 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 ha. Lord, there's problems in everything.
You know, that customs idea sounds just great.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I say, hiring these problems and everything, so.
Well, I don't know how they do these little jobs anyhow. It's so much, it's so tedious.
I don't either.
Unless they got 100 acres out there.
With that big equipment and all, I don't see how they do these little jobs. But, there ought to be some way to kind of line up when they could get to a man and tell him, and somewhere close. And I realize you can't pinpoint it right down to the day, maybe, because you may get over and get broke down a day or two, or anything else may happen. See?
You ought to get it within a month, wouldn't
you? Yeah, that's what I say. You ought to get within a day or two, I'd think.
Yeah, a week.
Of course, you know, I run into all kind of problems. Now, down there with Shell, I've been there all summer. Well, this fall, I have sold about 6 or 8 floor furnace units, plus some wall heaters and this type of thing, see, and then we've been having coals down there now for 2.5 months, at least, wanting somebody to come out and clean their furnaces and clean their stoves and adjust them and this type of thing, see. So orders just been piling up and piling up and piling up. More than we could do, see, was what has happened.
They do that, but they couldn't do that much.
That's right. We just couldn't get that much of it. Well, I keep telling the people that I didn't have no idea when we get to them. I wouldn't give them a date because there wasn't no way to do it. See, we just had more than we could do and put them on the list and first come, first serve, and work them out that way is all I could do, see. But now we wound up here. We got 3 men working on it. Out.
3 men?
Oh, yeah. But they kind of start dragging their feet. They go out here and you think they're doing a job over here somewhere, you know, and you find out they haven't even been there yet and all this kind of stuff. And we wound up here now, right now, and this cold snap done hit us. I've got 4 floor furnaces sitting there sold. The people calling every day and just jumping up and down wanting when we're going to put them in, when we're going to get them in, you know, for them. Well, I don't blame the people a bit. They come in, they bought them, I sold them to them in good faith because they haven't paid for them. I mean, they haven't got the money tied up in them, you know, but I won't let them pay for one ahead of time. I'll wait to get it in and pay for it because, you know, I don't want something like that to happen. But it just worries me slam to death. The rest of them don't seem to care. I mean, don't bother them. They don't act like it anyway. You know, it bothers them too bad. But it just worries me slam to death to tell you that I'll do something, and then I can't get nobody out there to do it.
And your 3 fellas, they still got time to sit down and eat lunch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course, you'd want them to do that. See, I mean, you're not wanting somebody to just drive them, you know, to death, but they'll at least work when they're out there, see. The way I look at it.
The big office
down
in Ocala still has a problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got the world of problems. But that's what I've been doing this summer, see, doing the dispatching, the bookwork, and then, of course, I take over the sales officer and handle that end of it when somebody comes in and wants a piece of equipment. This and that, see. But it's a problem. You can't get that stuff out to save your neck.
Yeah.
When you're depending on somebody else, I'll swear, you're just... Better go sit down somewhere, I reckon. That's the way it seems, you know.
One man operation, if you can't do it, just
leave it alone.
Just leave it alone.
That's about the best thing I know of, I'll tell you the truth. Because now, they holler, you know, if you'd pay a man more money, you'd get better help. You'd get better help. But that there's nothing to that.
Nothing to that.
Not a thing.
The more they get, the more they set. Let me tell you, you see, David and them boys, they always pulled you out of the ditch all the time. You'd get behind, you see, and then they'd come down there and work with you till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's the only way I was able to keep it going.
Yes.
But, I don't know, you can't do that if you got to hurry up.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
You all don't sell these little heaters like this, do you?
Yeah, we got them.
But I don't mean like that.
Well,
that's
what I say. We've got them, though. It's from three or four different sizes.
Yeah.
And we got some down there at with real good prices. Real good prices.
Do they all just have a bowl?
All of this type, yes. Now, we've got a deal down there that would do you a real good job. It's a gun type burner.
Yeah.
When it goes off, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
It's strictly thermostatically controlled.
Yeah.
Sits the thermostat on the wall and leave it on.
Yeah.
And it lights itself, it cuts itself off, and all of this automatically. And it's doing a real good job. It burns diesel instead of burning kerosene.
Oh.
And it's you get more heat output per gallon out of diesel than you do out of kerosene. Start with. Mm-hmm. But they're doing a real good job. The only thing that's wrong with it, it's a wall type. It's supposed to be put in the walls where it's supposed to be put in. See? And the sides are not finished on it like this would be, for instance. You know, it's not finished. It's supposed to sit back in the wall and just the face of it out. Although now I've got one of them and just set it in my house, just like it is. Eventually, one day, I hope to build a closet space around it and so forth, you know, and box it in. But it's doing a real good job.
It blows, though.
Yeah, it's got a
noise.
Got a blower. Yeah, it makes a little noise. It's got a blower on it and everything, and it'll circle heat just keep pushing it out, see.
Yeah.
Keeps the house warm. But there is some noise there when it is running.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll come on and run for 2 or 3 minutes, maybe. And then it cuts back off, and you haven't got nothing.
Haven't got nothing.
Till the temperature drops again, and it picks up and goes again, see.
Aaron, do you need a big one? Want a little one if you just keep it lit? Won't that heat?
It won't do the job that a bigger one would, no. Another thing, you need one with a blower on it.
Yes, with a fan.
With a fan of some type on it. You need a blower.
Yes.
See, and push that heat on out away from it. Get it
yeah.
on over here where it'd be some good. See?
Yeah.
And they're never quite as good. That pot type is not quite as good. In one sense, another way, it's all right. Of course, you've got continuously heat and all this all the time. But you're using a lot of fuel, too, while it's doing that all the time.
Yeah,
see?
That's it. Yeah.
And where you take this gun tight, once it cuts off, when that burner cuts off down there, it's not using nothing.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And then the noise that you hear right at that time is the fan still running, trying to cool the furnace down, actually, is what happens. The burner tries to keep it hot, and the fan tries to keep it cool. See? And that's what makes them work that way.
Well, I'm going to tell you, this... you see that thing there? That's too big. I've got a smaller one. But I got so I work in here now. I used to work out there in the trailer. And something like that would just circulate it and keep it from getting up there. And then, if you have a fan, you wouldn't need this thing.
No.
Have a little fan on it.
No.
You wouldn't have to have it on all the time. And... you know, I find here, you'd think this be hard to heat. But even cold weather, this is easy to heat, as long as the wind's not blowing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wind's what hurts you, see. That wind's coming under the floor and everywhere else, you know.
Yeah.
Cool it off that way, see.
Yeah.
But, of course, we've got them. We've got them like that with blowers and bigger heaters and so forth, see. We've got all several different models of them there on the floor now.
Well, sometime when you're in the office down there, I'll check with you. That one there is,
But anyway, we've got those, and we've got the one, like I was telling you, gun type, and it is doing a beautiful job. It's good. Oh, you got plenty of room here if you want to do it, put a floor furnace in. Now, the initial cost is more, of course. You know, getting it in there and all this, the time you buy one, get it in.
Yeah.
We've got a real good price on them. See, we're primarily just in the fuel business.
Yeah.
We're not out trying to make a killing off of heaters and this type of thing. We carry them more or less as convenience than anything else, see, on this end of it.
Yeah. All those floor heaters, we used to have one, and they are really nice.
Yeah, they are. We got a nice little unit down there. It sells $365. And, of course, that is installed as far as that goes. All with the exception of the carpenter work. Now, we won't touch no carpenter work. We can't do it. I don't have nobody that could come in here and do it. They'd mess your flow up and everything else, I reckon, you know, if you tried it. So we tell a man, if you get a carpenter to do this carpenter work, cut the hole to fit and this type of thing, then we bring the furnace out and set it in and hook it up. See? But your problem, of course, with it, you've got to have a flue of some type, and, you know, a chimney that you can get to and all this. See?
You know, a lot of these service stations have quit a lot of work. Some of them don't change tires.
Yeah, I know.
Like that.
This guy doesn't know where he hadn't been where I'm at.
He don't do hardly anything.
He's fixing to close it up now. It's for lease again.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. We're trying to find somebody for it now.
Oh, yeah. But that was, there just wasn't enough in it to keep somebody there to change tires.
No, it wasn't that. He just didn't want to do it.
I mean, a lot of places.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. And then other ways it's not. Of course, if you had somebody there to do that, and he can do something else when he's not changing tires, he can be out there helping you pump gas, clean windshields, and give a little faster service and better service, and you'll build up enough to take care of it, see.
Mm-hmm. What was he looking for over here?
I don't know.
The mess started, he didn't care about taking on any jobs.
No, he didn't want to start with. He didn't seem to be interested in meeting the people or even being nice to them, you know.
Yeah.
I introduced him to three or four that happened to come in, you know. Of course, I'd already closed, you know, before he come up there.
Yeah.
But I happened to be up there and I was moving some of my stuff around, and some three or four different ones the customers stopped by, you know. I'd introduce him to them.
Yeah.
And why, he act like he didn't care a bit in the world who they was or where they came from.
Well, where's he
from? He came here from Lebanon Station.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where he came from.
I don't know
there.
Where he come from. Is he an outsider?
Yeah, he came up north someplace.
Yeah.
At
well,
some
he,
time.
He must have something to live on already.
Well, I don't know. I understood he didn't have no money. And he couldn't buy none of my stock. He didn't buy none of it, none of the equipment or nothing. Okay. And
you had sort of had an understanding there. You operate that kerosene out
yeah.
of there. And he took a dislike to that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was all set up and everything. I was going to leave my trailer right there where it was, see.
Yeah.
And use it as an office deal.
Yeah.
And go ahead and use the storage tanks out there, because he's not using them, still not using them. They're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And that was all set up, and then he decided he didn't want that dog.
Well, now, and does he have a trailer over there?
Yeah.
But his wouldn't interfere with yours?
No. He didn't even put his back where mine was to start with.
Yeah.
He came up and told me I had to leave that fence there. My yard fence I'd built around there so I'd keep my dog.
Yeah.
He told me I had to leave it because he's going to use that for his dog pen. I said, well, I'll be glad to leave. I said, I've got a right to close to $150 in this fence.
Yeah.
If you want it, give me $100 for it, and I'll leave it alone. I won't touch it. He said, no, I'm not going to buy it. I said, well, then you're not going to get it then. But I'm going to take it down. So I take it down. It's not doing me no good. Not doing nobody good. It's just laying down now.
It rolled up. Huh?
But it was mine. I bought and paid for it. And man, if he done me like that, I wasn't thinking to give him no fans. I don't believe you would either.
Well, now, it looks to me like you were just vengeful, vindictive.
I was.
On that, yeah.
I was.
A good fella would just have said,
we'll say, we'll use it. That's true. I was. And I even felt bad about it.
Do you ever miss being back up
in
the country?
Oh, yeah.
Country, up
yeah, there? I miss the... you mean up here? Up,
no, up there.
No.
Up there.
No, sir. I went up there last Christmas. You know, David got married up there at Christmas time.
Yeah.
I went up there and
That's
we got
right.
snowed in.
Yeah.
It was ice, sleet. Everywhere you went, you couldn't get drive down the road. There's ice all over the road, and people slipping off in the ditches, and everything. Even people lived there, see, couldn't tell on the road. And I was scared to slam to death. They ain't even lying about it. I was scared to death. And I told my wife then, now if we get back out of here, unless there's something real bad happens, I'll never come back in the winter months. Period. And I wouldn't. It'd have to be an emergency if I go back in the winter months.
Could you make a living out there?
Well, I guess you could. Now, I don't know what I could do if I were to make a living, because I couldn't stand that cold on the outside no more. It'd have to be inside work if I did. There's more money up there than there are here. If I was that cold, for a working man, there's more money up there.
Oh, is
there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get up there, you can make $5 or $6 an hour down here. If you make two, well, they think you're paying you big money, see?
Oh.
You know.
Why do you all pay those three fellas?
Oh, they're not making a whole lot of money. They're making around $1.80, $1.90 an hour, but to get all the overtime they want. Anything over 40 hours is time and a half, see?
Yeah.
Going up there. It ain't working
well, now, you want, made money one time up there, I remember.
Yeah.
When they was putting through the road.
Yeah.
And now, how'd that go, Aaron? And they'd get stuck.
Oh, yeah, I was going to school then. I just get out there and pull them out, that's all. They just drive off them juggles and mar down. They couldn't get through it, see?
Yeah.
And they had to get through, a lot of them did. So I just tie on to them, pull them on through it, see?
Yeah. And the highway didn't do anything to help it out.
No. Now the winter months just come along and caught them, see, with the road tore up. And they couldn't do nothing until spring.
Yeah.
And it was that way all winter.
And some of the people still had to go through there.
Oh, yeah.
So they just depended on you all to...
Yeah, anybody they get to pull them through it, pull them out of it, see.
Yeah.
Oh, there was teams and wagons lined up out there waiting on them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Just waiting for them to get stuck. Oh, they didn't wait.
No, they couldn't get through.
They didn't get through. They just hitched to them and went on.
Yeah.
$5.
Yeah. I didn't have none but one little team that time. That little team mules. And but they'd pull good. So I took the front end of my wagon, took it apart, just the front wheels.
Yeah.
And then tore a chain over that and tied to the axle there, and you could drag a load with it.
Yeah.
That way, see.
Oh, yeah.
I could put them through there where they had 4-horse teams hooked to them and couldn't pull them.
Oh, really? You mean with that arrangement?
Yeah. I think my little team, I just had a small 10 mules. They were small. They were about, well, you know, 15, about 15 hand mules. You know what they're talking about on those,
yeah.
See.
Yeah.
And several times out there, I've had them to where they'd have 4 horses hooked to them, trying to pull them, hang up and couldn't move them. Had them take those from them, tell them they couldn't move.
Yeah.
And I pull in there and tie to it and drag them out. But,
were those two little?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've worked horses, didn't you? You used to work horses up in Tennessee. You know about them.
But I know you've got to be able to handle them.
Well, there's a lot of difference in them, see.
Oh, difference in horses.
A lot of different horses. A lot of different. And a mule will work circles around a horse.
In
you
mud.
Know that, yeah. In mud or anything in tight pulling.
Intact.
Oh, yeah, they'll work on circle around a horse to start with.
Yeah.
Those guys come out there with a big team. Some of them had mules and so forth, put big teams on there. They didn't know how to drive them. And they couldn't get them to pull together, one pull and the other pull, and, you know, and they'd fall down and do this and do that, you know, and just a mess. That all was to it. They didn't know how to handle them. They couldn't drive them. Some of them been handling horses all their lives. Still didn't know how to handle them. You saw that happen
yeah.
A lot of times. And I just tie mine to them, throw the lines down, get back and holler at them. They drop down and go pull it. Minor fault.
Yeah.
I don't believe in whipping and beating around on a horse. It don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Not unless you just absolutely have to, you know
well,
what I mean?
They'd give them a little ginger.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times and everything they couldn't pull. I could throw the lines down on mine, get back and holler at them, and they'll drop down. I saw them get down up there and went, well, you have to up there. You was raised up there in that country.
Yeah. Yes, but I never could handle animals like that.
Yeah, them little old mules I had, I saw them drop down. Their belly wouldn't be that high out of the mud.
Yeah.
Just laying right,
just right there.
Down
right
on the ground the pulling, see. And they can move a load and they do that.
Yeah.
They can move a load and they're doing that, see.
And they're pulling together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they listen to you.
Yeah, they listen.
You didn't have to drive them.
No, oh, we worked them. We worked them hard that way. That was hard work. Worked them hard. We fed them good. I seen that they had a place to stay, and well, my dad raised us that way. See, the stock had to be in. Cold, bad weather. We had to try to have a barn for them that was suitable, near as we could.
Yeah.
They had to have bedding in there, and they had to have something to eat, and they had to have water.
Yeah.
Now they come first.
Yeah.
You know, really. Come right down to it, they come first because you take care of your stock.
Yeah.
He always said, if you take care of your stock and take care of what you raise, then it'll take care of you.
Yeah.
And there's a lot in that, really.
Yeah. Well, it don't take much to weather them, to keep them out of the weather.
No, it don't take that much. And
a little draft don't hurt them.
No. It don't take that much. But so many of them up there, you know, they had their stalls was muddy. They didn't really have no place to lay down. And a lot of them didn't have no barn to get into and this type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's hard on stock up there, especially where it weather's bad like that. It's hard on stock.
Oh, yeah. Just to have some old wet place to get in.
Well, that's, of course, the difference up there in the cattle business from what it is here.
Yeah.
Down here, you can leave them out all winter running out here. Doesn't get that cold, not that long, see.
Yeah,
but up there, you better have a place for them to get in, John, see.
The story they tell, you got to go.
If yeah,
you
I still have.
Let me tell you, the story they tell down
Thank
here about animals, cattle, mules, too, you fix a place for them to get in, and they won't even go close to
it. No, a lot of times they probably wouldn't.
All but they'll do, I'll tell you what they will do. Now, they'll get out of a draft.
Yeah.
They'll
get
out
in behind something
in the field where it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
They won't stand out there in a blizzard.
No, they get in behind something.
Yeah.
On the sunny side of the hill and this type of thing.
Yeah.
They'll do that.
But won't go in there.
You take a photo when that snow falls and on the ground for a week or two at a time and all this stuff. Well, that's a rough one.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I've enjoyed talking to you.
Well, we had a little break. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But if you decide you want another stove, you're not one out there or not, you know what the plan is down there.
Well, you see, that was a surprise tape. Aaron came to bring the kerosene, the first of the season. This is Channel 1 Right, up to around 510. This Friday morning, the 6th of November 1970, homecoming over at Cookie's school at Hawthorne. And Miss Gussie didn't get here. And David had just brought in my old tape recorders reworked. He said they're good as new. And this is Channel 1 Right, 520. And the surprise visit from David. Faye thought of it. She motioned me a time or two. And I had my mind on the rye, and I thought, no, not this time. And then it occurred to me, we could just come in and get a drink of water and tape a little bit. And that's what we did. And it's the only tape I have of Aaron. And it has that beautiful little picture, you see, of handling those mules up in West Virginia. They would just pull so hard. This is Channel 1 Right, around 5:30, Friday morning, the 6th of November, 1970.